direct you prayerfully to John's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We have been singing of that effectual calling. This is most vital in the conversion and salvation of every child of God. And what a mercy that the Lord has condescended, God the Father has condescended to give unto Jesus all those that he had loved eternally. Now, there are many may certainly cavil at the cause of election, but it is a sovereign God who has a sovereign right to do according to his will amongst the armies of heaven and in the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say, what doest thou? We read through the scriptures of the favours bestowed upon Israel of old. And all we have to say, if by the grace of God we have been called to that grace, if in other words you have been born again, created anew in Christ, then we have to say, why me? Why such a wretch as me who must forever lie in hell were not salvation free? And as we read this morning, it brought back to my mind a humble hope of a promise of my own children. And that is, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Now, that promise has been very much tried and still is concerning one of my family over there. And it may be an exercise with you concerning your own offspring or offspring's offspring. You see no signs. You see them at war with God, at peace with hell. And yet, dear friends, we also sang, glory to God, they ne'er shall roam beyond the limits of his love. And so while there is life, there is hope. And this encourages, I believe, poor sinners to go on praying without ceasing, that if it be according to his sovereign will, that he will fulfill those promises, and that he will yet appear to build again those broken walls of Jerusalem, to bring back the prodigals, and to cause them to come and hear what God, the Lord, shall speak unto their souls, and exhort them to turn not again to folly. Now in our carnal minds we are full of folly, I believe, left to ourselves. But this is a warfare of the newborn soul that will be pleading that we might be truly amongst those that have been given to Christ, and that as grace is given we might come to him. He says, come unto me all ye that labour and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you're a coming sinner, you'll be burdened. You'll be laboring to come to him. You see, the devil will do his utmost to turn you and me out of the way. He will put obstacles in your way. He will put allurements in your way. He'll put temptation in your way. But what a mercy that where sin hath abounded, yes, and does abound, grace might much more abound. And grace, dear friends, grace will reign, grace will be supreme, because it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is exceedingly abundant. And you'll be subjects of that grace, I believe, if you're one of his. He's called you by his grace. There's nothing in you, dear friends, and me. We're vile sinners. We're defiled from head to foot and cannot be bound up or mollified. But the blood of Christ cleanses. It's something you'll plead for. You'll plead. plead that the Lord might be the bread of life to your soul and mine. We want a crumb. We want to feed upon Christ. It isn't the literal bread, is it? It is faith in the truth and the promises that the Lord reveals to such as you and me. And so it's all that the Father giveth. There won't be one that is left behind that is in this covenant. Everyone called by his grace, everyone, though born in sin, shaven in iniquity, as all human beings are, conceived in sin, yet the Lord has loved them from all eternity. He has satisfied the just demands of the law for them. Doesn't make you and me careless, dear friends, in our walk and our conduct. This will exercise you and me with the blessed law of the gospel. You see, the gospel will be your rule and your conduct of life, seeking to do that that is pleasing in the sight of God. And so, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ himself came down from heaven, came down from the Father of lights. We read, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This is that perfect gift, the gift of God to poor sinners, the life of the Spirit within, the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts. These are coming sinners to Christ. He won't cast you out. If you come with a broken heart, you come empty. You come pleading mercy. You come as a beggar, poor, knocking at mercy's door. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden. You'll have a cross to bear. You'll have something to burden you and me. We shall, dear friends, if we are true followers of Christ. You shrink from it? Of course you do. Shrink from what cross might, or what difficulty might lie in your path. But oh, it's this walking by faith and not by sight, pleading daily. Lord, am oppressed. O Lord, undertake for me. O Lord, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Teach me to do thy will. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. You may not think you have enemies. Mercy if you haven't, but there will be an enemy, and that's yourself. Yourself. Sinful self. You realize you've no control over thought, word, or deed. Bless the Lord that grants you that grace to suppress the power of the tempter's power in your soul and mind. Time to test the tempter's power. Time to feel it. So we have to realize, don't we, especially when we may dwell among those that appear to be ungodly in our circles, in our lawful circles. Seems no life, no light in them. They do all things after the manner of the flesh. Don't condemn them. Don't condemn them, friends. Such were some of ye. What has made you and me to differ? There's nothing in us, dear friends, to merit a scheme or esteem or give the Creator delight. We're vile. Oh, I believe you'll pity them. Because there is no light in them or life in them, that is spiritual life. But yet you have your concerns for them, because they are tied to you and the ties of the flesh. They're a burden to you. But oh, what a mercy that if they are the Lord's, they will come. He will gather them from the four quarters of the earth, all his dear people. They shall be with him in heaven one day. What a mercy. Often it is the case. One dies and it's the beginning of life in another soul spiritually. And so we would bless God for his word here. God's electing love. Christ that keeps them. Christ that upholds his dear chosen people. He begins that good work in their hearts. He teaches them his fear. We read the fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and whoso is wise, this is spiritually wise, and given grace to observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And as I said earlier, it'll often be with you and me, why me? Why such a wretch as me who must forever lie in hell were not salvation free? And it's that free and that sovereign grace, it's without money and without price, and it is how everyone that thirsteth come. What a mercy to be given a thirst for these living things, living truth, living waters that flow out from the wells of salvation. What a terrible thing to have a name to live and be dead. But what a mercy if the Lord has begun that good work in your heart and mind. There'll be a spiritual appetite. There'll be a longing and a panting after the living God. Like the heart we use sometimes, don't we? From that 42nd Psalm. As the heart panteth after the living water brooks for life to continue. And so panteth my soul after thee, the living God. When wilt thou come? There's a desire, a hunger, a thirst, a living desire that the Lord in his mercy would condescend to come and draw you by the cords of a man and by those bands of his love. This then is the desire of a poor sinner, that he might be amongst those that the Father hath given him. This is that predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God before the worlds were made. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, said Jesus. And oh, how these Jews around him disputed this, disputed his very coming down from heaven. This then may be a stumbling block to you and me concerning God's electing love. But Jesus came and Jesus trod this sin-stained world and hath in his love and in his pity redeemed his sheep from the curse of the law. Oh, what love there is in it. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he did come down to do the will of his Father. And so he would be amongst those coming sinners to Christ. The Lord will receive you as you come venturing upon him and his merits alone, and desiring that he would order your footsteps by his word, that he will be your guardian, your guide, give you clearer views. We so don't see him, as I've said before, in the flesh, with the eyes of the natural man, but the eye of our soul, which is faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. The eye of the Lord that runneth to and fro through the whole of the earth. He gives you faith to believe in his inspired word that we have before us. Oh, what a precious word is the Bible to poor sinners, as their eyes are enlightened and faith is given to believe in him. And it is the bread of life, isn't it? When the Lord so takes of his word and seals it upon your soul, we get very tempted and tried as to the life of the Spirit in our hearts. But those sweet moments that we can recall as led by the Spirit, we remember these things. And we pray that the Lord will fulfill those things that he has revealed to us, to make us more and more conscious of our need of him to draw us by the cords of a man, by those bands of his love. Something secret. That secret work begun in the hearts of these believers. They become seekers. They seek to know and do the will of the Lord. They seek to have the promises applied. They want to know and have an interest in the merits of this sin-atoning blood. They want to be led to this fountain open for sin and uncleanness. They want to be attracted to Christ. Now his visage was marred more than any man in his natural in his natural state, but there be a suitability of Christ, in Christ, and a desire that we might know him, the power of his resurrection. This is what is needful, dear friends, and every newborn soul will feel this, and they know it too in due time. The desire will be this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that power he will give to you and me when we are brought into that faint-hearted condition. The law work in the soul will condemn, cause you and me much grief of heart at times, to realize that we stand guilty of breaking all Ten Commandments. No, you'll want something more, dear friends, than that. You want the Lord to lift up the light of his countenance upon me, upon you, to show me, O Lord, to show me thy hands and thy feet. This is feeding upon the bread of heaven sent down. This is feeding upon Christ as he shines into your dark, benighted soul, applies the word, blesses you with his grace, gives you a true token, gives you a word to meditate upon him. As Jeremiah said, thy words were found. He was led by the Spirit. He was directed to the truth. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. This is the bread of life. Meditating upon a portion of his word that he's laid in your heart. You cannot escape it. It's there. And it's brought again to your remembrance from time to time what the Lord has spoken to you, as I said earlier, concerning my family. You see that thy children shall all, that they shall be all taught of God. What a teacher. And so it will be your desire to be taught of God. For who teacheth like him? Teacheth you and me, dear friends, that is profitable to your soul. Things that we speak from time to time amongst you will have no abiding effect unless the Spirit takes it and seals it upon yourself. You may have heard these truths many times over, and you may have heard them to approval. When the Lord applies them, they will be truly heard for profit. And it won't be the prophet of the sinner that speaks, but it'll be unto him that has loved you and washed you from your sins in his precious blood. All these glorious truths of the gospel, you know, will be your meat and your drink indeed that the world knows nothing of. You see, as an aching void given to the newborn soul, that the world will never fill, however much your mind might be fogged over with many material things and many worldly things. You learn many things by familiarity, don't you? And you have an interest in them to a certain extent, because you're subjects of the land and the things that go on in therein. But oh, you see many evils too, don't you? What a mercy if beyond these time things there's an exercise of soul to know that you're one whom he hath chosen. And he says plainly, you have not chosen me. Oh, poor sinners, poor so-called Christians that have chosen Christ. And oh, how the dreadful blind leaders are saying, you've only got to wave your handkerchief to accept Christ. What a delusion, dear friends, contrary to the teaching of this word. Many are called, yes, they're called by man, but not by grace. And that's the danger. That's the danger. Called by man's persuasion for his eloquent orations. Called by man, subtle writings. Subtle works, dear friends, of man. And in the name of religion, they're dead, dead. What have you and me? Called by grace, what a difference. Because you are chosen. This is the, you see, this calling, dear friends. Not many mighty, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish of this world. What a mercy if you're one of them. And this will be an exercise with you and me. You see, you won't any longer be a lover of pleasure, but you'll be a lover of God. Men in their day are lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, because there's no light in them. And if there's no light in you, then when you come to die, that seeming light, dear friends, will go out. You'll be like the foolish virgins. No oil in your vessel. The lamps go out. And when you've gone to buy more, midnight the bridegroom came and the door was shut. What of your heart and mind? Where are you this morning, this day? Have you had that heavenly calling? Have you been called by grace or called by man? That all that the Father giveth me shall come. Oh, here's a hope, poor tried child of God. You may be very tempted as your calling as to the reality of your religion and the work of grace in your heart. But I believe this is a little indication of light in your soul, real light. If there's a true exercise to receive this bread from heaven and this water from the wells of salvation, you'll pray continually, Lord, do grant that I might be taught of thee, and thou wilt teach me. And oh, he will teach you, dear friends, profitable things. And it may be through much tribulation, but the tribulatory pathway of the child of God is to make you more concerned and more exercised as to how the case stands with your soul. But oh, to know this Jesus, that I may know him, as we said, and the power of his resurrection. Only he can raise sinners from the dead. Only he can cause them to be born again. Even the very religious Nicodemus had to learn that, didn't he? He had to be born again, created anew. And this is something that we examine ourselves over. We're exhorted to examine ourselves as to whether we be in the faith of God's elect. Oh, the election will obtain the blessing, the chosen vessels, those that he has bought with a price, those promises given and applied with power to their hearts. Because of his everlasting love to these sinners, they will come to him. They come as beggars, they come with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. They come boldly to the throne of grace because they have that liberty of the Spirit, not in a fleshly boldness. They don't want to be seen of men, but they go into their closet and pray to their Father in secret, that their Father might reward them openly. Haven't you proved it, some of you, in your lives? You've had to go not to man, not to be seen at the street corners, not to be seen of man, but you've had to go into your closet and have that closet prayer in secret with your Father, pleading the merits of Jesus. And you've had to come and he's rewarded you openly. He's set before you an open door in whatever shape or form that was. He's set before you an open door. A way of escape, a way of deliverance, a way of hell. And the Lord's been in it. You see, this is he's rewarded you openly. You've honored him, you've sought him with the whole heart, and you've blessed him abundantly for that liberty of the Spirit. As you've come boldly to the throne of grace, he might obtain mercy. You've obtained mercy. You found grace to help in your time of need. You fear the unknown way, and the Lord has made that crooked thing straight. He's removed the mountains. He's made a way for you to pass over. And all you've had to realize, those that have been pursuing you have been destroyed from following you. They've been stopped. They've been hindered. You've been unable to go freely on. The Lord has granted you his mercy. Oh, you look back over life's journey, I believe, and see this, here a little and there a little. The crooked made straight, the rough place plain, the darkness light before you. because the Lord would have you come to him. You've come unto him laboring, heavy laden, but he's given you rest. Rest from your enemies. Rest from your fears. Calm your troubled breast. Said, be still and know that I am God. And he's calmed. There's been a calming influence when the Lord has drawn you to himself. Now you don't see him in the flesh, but you feel at times your bosom glow with love for this dear Redeemer that has not failed you nor forsaken you, has been your refuge and your strength, have been a very present help in your trouble. And you've had to prove this, that I can do all things, have done all things in difficulty, through him that has strengthened me. He has raised me from the dead. He's given new life into my soul. I've gone on my way rejoicing, seeing plainly that the Lord has gone before me. Oh, what a mercy then to have that hope that the Lord has been your God of providence. And it causes you to hope the God of all grace. You prove in the midst of the fiery trials of the way that his grace is sufficient. You may not have taken away the cross or the trial, but it's been the means, hasn't it, of bringing you down onto your knees in prayer, the knees of a broken heart, as it were, as you sought the Lord, and he has made a way for you where there seemed to be no way. And why is that? Because the Lord has gone before you, and he will surely be with you, even though you may be brought into passing through the fiery trial. And he says, beloved, Peter said, under the influence of the Spirit, in his writings, beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happen unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory may be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Walking by faith. Oh, poor sinner. You seem to be very much confounded with fears. But you know the Lord will not leave you to be desolate. He won't leave you to be desolate. You may feel there'll be desolations in your heart at times, but he'll not leave you there. Set time to favour you. Set time to bless you with those covenant blessings that he will grant you a sip, a little touch here and there, a little crumb, a little hope, a little favour, that you see the eyes of the Lord by the eye of faith, the hand of the Lord going before you, as he has blessed you abundantly with that life of the Spirit within yourself. And you can't give up, can you? You've not had that fullness revealed to you of the pardon or the assurance of heaven. But there's a humble heart that he's begun that good work in you. He that has begun the good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I believe I gave those words to a sister-in-law when I was had the privilege of baptizing her at Fenstanton. He that hath begun that good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe she's now in heaven. What a mercy. And all by the reason of the Lord giving her that grace, in spite of an afflicted body, a disjointed family that grew up around her. But oh, you see, this is the mercy. That in a pathway of affliction and sorrow, there is still the throne of grace. There is still those gifts of grace to enable a poor sinner to call upon his name. This is coming to Christ, isn't it? Pleading the merits of Christ. That love, that blood, and that righteousness. This is the refuge for your soul. This is coming in the liberty of the Spirit and the throne of grace. This is obtaining mercy, finding grace to help in the time of need. You won't need him, won't you? Will you? All the wild creature help is available. But he strips you of all creature help. This is the This is the terrible state of religion today. It's all creature hell, creature worship, idolatry, imagery, popery, blasphemy, and superstition. Oh, you know, take away all these things, dear friends, and what have we got left? Take away imagination. Take away the tradition. Take away, dear friends, even our pathway of actions and that form of godliness. What have we got left? Oh, haven't we anything left? Have we not a little, dear friends, of the work of grace, a little evidence that the Lord has called us by his grace? Has he never said to you, thou art the man? Has he never convinced you of your sin? Has he never made you to come with weeping and supplication to the throne of grace, confessing your sins? Have you never had to cry unto the Lord, Lord, help me? Have you never had to feel oppressed and cast down and burdened? Have you never felt that you're a sinner in the sight of God and those sins testify against you? If you've never come there, dear friends, you're in dead and darkness, in the form of godliness without the power. But if the Lord has begun that good work in you, you'll be pleading. The Lord would have mercy upon your soul. You'll be seeking for pardon. You'll seek to be prepared for those prepared mansions in the sky. You'll be seeking to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, painful to the flesh, yes. But oh, it'll be by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. For the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're not of them that draw back to perdition. How many turn back from following the Lord? His truth was too was too sharp and cutting. It cut to the quick, didn't it? There may be some portions of scripture that come very sharp and seem at times as though you're cut off. But oh, when you're brought there, dear friends, this will make you truly cry unto the Lord. Lord, do enable me to come to thee. Draw me. Draw me by the cords of a man and by the bands of thy love, and oh, don't leave me to perish, Lord. Deliver me from being a lukewarm believer. Was that neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is the book of judgment, dear friends, the book of the law that speaks plainly to sinners. Oh, do you feel oppressed? Do you feel cut off this morning? Oh, you know, if you're brought to feel, dear friends, what a sad state you're in, it'll make you cry. It'll make you plead, Lord, do grant me faith to believe in thee, for thou art the author of faith. And living faith is a substance in the soul of a true believer, a chosen vessel. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things that are not seen. Because these are the things that are eternal. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And you pray, Lord, do grant that I might be one chosen vessel. Not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. And if you've been ordained of the Spirit of God, dear friends, you'll be favored to be anointed. You'll be favored and privileged to feel the Spirit resting upon you. And you'll feel at times such sweetness, the sweetness of the stream of the anointing power of the Spirit and the power of Christ rest upon a sinner. This is not understood naturally, but it is spiritually. The Spirit of the Lord upon a sinner, great mystery and a great mercy when the Lord so touches your heart, when he favors you to feel his nearness and his presence, he warms your cold heart, you're melted down. When this blessed Jesus draws you, when you feel union and communion with him from off the mercy seat, can you not recall those sweet moments? brought before the cross, raised from those dead feelings, looking unto Jesus, to be brought here in your afflictive dispensations to acknowledge his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? O Lord, you say, deliver me from these repinings, but may I be pining for Christ. These pinings prove that Christ is near. You're pining for Christ. You know, sometimes in our lives we've had to pine for lost ones, for those that have been taken from us. You know, you don't pine before men necessarily, but you do pine before God, don't you? Are you brought to pine for Christ? Look into him. Does thy heart for Jesus pine? He understands the side divine and marks each secret ground. And this is the work of the Spirit in a sinner's heart, I believe, as he is looking to Jesus and praying that he will have mercy upon him, that he would reveal his love to him, and confirm his soul with the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. He says, I am the Lord. And there's another thought concerning all that the Father giveth me. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He draws a sinner that is so burdened with his sin. He draws him to Calvary. He draws him to that cross. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And you'll be drawn to Calvary. And you'll be looking there with the humble hope that all your sins he has cast behind his back in the depths of the seas of that crimson ocean, that blood that was shed for many, that blood that cleanseth from all sin and unrighteousness. And all we need the blood. Like the Israelites of old, they had to take the lamb and put the blood over the lintels of the doorpost. When the destroying angel came, he would pass over them. So with the child of God, we want this blood of Christ on the lintels of our souls, to have our filthy garments washed and made white in the blood of Christ, sacred, precious blood. We fear to speak much of it. We know so little of it, understand so little of it, that we believe it. Any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, shed his blood on Calvary's tree, able to stand in the midst, able to come where you are and say, peace be unto thee. My peace I leave with thee, not as the world giveth, give unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a promise. And this is something that the child of God will be looking for, to be coming to him and not be cast out. Well, if you're coming aright, if you're coming feeling the guilt, you'll be like this: a guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy kind arm I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh unto me, cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord in his mercy bless our few remarks this morning, as we have the ordinance to attend to, and forgive all amiss. Amen.